Charlotte. Back on the inside, they're booming the countdown. Booming the countdown. That's the Hertha. That's the signal. It's Warrington's day. St. Helens came here as red-hot favourites, but Warrington put the flames out, did the job they had to do, and they are going on with the trophy.
Coming up on the podcast, Wire against all the odds win the Challenge Cup. We review the game and what a brilliant, brilliant day it was for the Wolves. There's a Bryson Goodwin melody and it's a goodie. Is Daryl Clark unbeatable even at a steeplechase? Grimacek's out the Rugby League apprenticeship. We look at Warrington's running and what to expect. And Dennis will get himself in strife over his new RFL players' top trump idea. But frankly, who cares? We won the Challenge Cup. It's all coming up on What Would Brian Bevan Say?
Worry. Come on, lads. Worry. Come on, Sam. Worry.
Jesus.
We're all sung out from yesterday, Rob. That's what it is. I've got sore throats this morning.
Oh, dear. Hello, I'm Rob London, currently suffering from two slip discs, but it's hard to tell last night whether it was crying in pain or it was my tears of joy. But have my two co-hosts sobered up and made it back from the capital. So check it in first to a man that took his mum along to Wembley and was still celebratory drinking less than 7 hours ago. Sam Sankey, are you there, sir?
Yes, hello, good morning. I am here, all happy in the bright, beautiful sunshine of South Warrington. And you say still drinking 7 hours ago. I bumped into Phil and Claire outside Wembley on the way home. And Phil is a listener to the pod and asked me when we were recording and would I be drunk. Well, Phil, just for you, I'm starting with a little glass of something bubbly here while we're recording the podcast at 9:05 Sunday morning.
Winner. There, haven't you, Dennis, there?
Jeez, yeah.
Oh dear. Well, a gentleman who can buy sausage rolls, painkillers and champagne on his train trip and was surprisingly seated closer to Prince Harry than MI5 would have liked. It's Dennis Waywell.
Worry.
How are you, Dennis?
All right, hey? Not too bad. Quite happy this morning. Very happy. Before we start, actually, no negatives today, but I do need to get a little bit of negative out of the way. WWBBS sack letters box has been full of letters from last week. There's been a number of things. There's been a spike in the number of complaints about the pod. A number of listeners were disturbed by the piece that Rob London made last week about Austin's ankle. Loads of different comments. London's lost it. Has he got ankylitis? But I had a particular letter from a guy called Jared. I'll just read it out to you. What the hell was all that about? As soon as I heard the panorama title music, I started to fall asleep in an almost hypnotic state. I was driving at the time on the A49 towards Winnick. Fortunately, I managed to pull over in a safe place at the end of Denshin Avenue and get a custard tart from the Long Lane Cafe. On starting the car again, I was startled to the fact that the Austin ankle item was still going on. I continued with my journey, stopping at the lights on the roundabout rather abruptly, and I was annoyed I was now late for an appointment. Much to my annoyance, I realised that I'd left my tart on the roof of the car when getting back in, and as I stopped at the lights, it slewed down the windscreen. As I quickly reacted to put my hand out the window to retrieve it, I accidentally knocked the windscreen wipers on, which activated the wipers to spread the custard tart all over the windscreen. Not having a good day at this point, by the sounds of it, is it, Mr. London?
Indeed. Well, I only can apologise to him. What was his name again?
It's Jared.
Jesus. Did he have any? Did he have any hubcaps when he came back to Densham Avenue?
Well, I don't know. By now, the lights had changed and some of the drivers in traffic started sounding their horns from behind. In a panic, I decided to try and wash the screen with the screen's car wash and proceed to pull off with limited visibility. Being fully aware of the frustrated drivers from behind, began to drive around the roundabout and became once again that the infuriating Austin Ankle section was still going on.
Yes.
Now accompanied with club music. It was making me very angry and agitated. So whilst turning the car, cleaning the windscreen, the custard tart with limited visibility, I reached for the stereo off button where my hand slipped, the steering wheel moved and I hit and deviated a parked car. Fortunately, it was a low-speed collision and nobody was hurt. But to add to my further agitated state, the stereo was now at full blast with the Austin Ankle item swearing through the speakers, making me look like a complete idiot. And he finishes off with just a couple of lines. They say, in moments of panic and danger, you experience flashes of your life passing by in seconds. On this occasion, your Austin Ankle report was like a never-ending nightmare, resulting in a costly incident and a permanent psychological scar.
Deary me. Oh, deary. Well, I did say he wasn't going to play. I mean, our undercover reporting did prove that he was away on his hollybobs, didn't it? So, to be fair, I don't really care about people north of the river. So, I mean, he was probably...
Terrible. I mean, you've got nothing else up your sleeve. Any others?
Some good sound bites today, lads. We've got some good...
I can just mention that Bish sort of summed all that up when he heard the Austin Ankle monologue as, "Has Rob gone rogue?"
I like how he said it's a monologue.
I've not even started on the painkillers when I put that one together. Anyway, I've got a couple of classics today for you lads, so we'll see how we go. Hey, I tell you one player who played with a real ecky thump yesterday, Bryson Goody Goodwin. Okay, brace yourselves. It's time for another sing-along.
Goodwin, good and brass and Goodwin. Gee, he needs a helping hand. No, he doesn't understand. No, he's with you right to the end. Everyone needs a friend. Goody Brass and Goodwin D. He'll show you definitely why you should play him at 3 weeks. He takes on the trial line. Anything, anytime. Try. Goodwin. He's coming for you. Goodwin. Good brass and Goodwin. Here he comes into town. Get his elf falling down. Hey, why don't you give him a shout? Mate, he can work it out. Come on, let's score a try. It'll lead you to a better life. Goody, 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 do. You want to sing a song? You can learn right along. He can show you all what to do, so you can be a good win too. Try. Good win. Good and brass and good win. Good win. Good and brass and good win. Good win. Good and brass and good win. Up and down, in and out, riding in full about. Goodwin, good and brass, Goodwin. 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 The Goodwin, he's good and brass, Goodwin. Goodwin.
Goodwin, good and brass, Goodwin. Goodwin.
Needless to say, did I ever say, when I get a letter about these type of sound bites, you go and follow it up with that? You had that in your up your sleeve.
They'll all be singing that next week. You'll all be singing that at the match next week. You watch.
It's no wonder I'm being driven to drink.
Right, come on then, let's get on to the Wembley review. I'll read the team out. Are we ready for this? I'll read it out officially today. Here we go. Warrington, number one, Stephen Ratchford. Number
Hooray.
Two. Number two, Joshua Charnley.
Hooray.
Number three, George King. Number four, Sorry. Bryson. Number four,
George.
Number three, Toby King. Number four, Bryson Goody Goodwin. Number five, Thomas Lynham. Number six, Benjamin Curry. Number seven, Dick Patton. Number 8, Christopher Hill. Number 9, The Messiah. Number 10, Michael Cooper. Number 11, Jack Hughes. Number 12, Benjamin Murdoch Masilla. And 13, Jason Clark. The interchange base was Joseph Philbin, Sitiliki Akawala, Jake Mamo, and Matthew Davis. Final score was Warrington 18, Wigan, not Wigan.
God almighty.
Oh, dear. St. Helens 40. It may as well have been. What a game, lads. What a game. Right. Well, straight from the kickoff, we pumped the ball up in the air, Sam. Something different.
Yes. Yeah. We tried out a couple of bombs on St. Helens, didn't we? We're obviously playing, get it high for as long as we can so we can get the chase in and keep them pinned down on their own line. We started very well. Obviously had a little bit of luck, but started really well, really in the faces.
Mm-hmm. Well, talking of in their faces, and Dennis has just mentioned this to me offline, around about the 10-minute mark, Lachlan Coote took a bit of a blow to the head. We think from there, possibly things went wrong for him. Did anyone actually come on and see to him, Dennis? Or did he just sort of get up and groggily make his way back to the line?
I think he just saw, there was an incident. I saw him on the ground and after a kick, I think, and he got left behind. He was on his haunches. And he looked like he took a bit of a blow. Don't know what it was, but I was looking for it because quite clearly, you know, he's been touted as one of the best in the league this year. He was completely off his game, wasn't he?
So he was away. Did you notice that, Sam? Did you notice the knock?
I didn't notice the knock. I just noticed it was shit during the game, which was great.
He was down on his haunches for about a minute. After about the 10-minute mark, he did collide with someone, and off the ball, you could see he was down, and he took a long time to make it back to the line. 18th minute, Saints have a perfectly legitimate try ruled out after Morgan Knowles touches down cleanly. But Hicks, refuses to go to Thaler. Did you think it was a try, boys, at the time? Right, before you saw it on the big screen, did you see it on the big screen? What did they show at Wembley?
Yes, he did show it on the big screen, but about 4 or 5 minutes later, he showed it. They showed it at real speed. They showed a replay, but they only showed the slowed down about 4 to 5 minutes later. At the time, because we were on that try line on the side, at the time I thought he'd got it. The guy next to me was convinced he'd bounced it. And then, of course, in extra slow motion, we got away with one, didn't we?
Can you believe he didn't go to the cup final? He's not gone to the video referee.
I can believe it because we saw Mr. Hicks, the fantastic Mr. Hicks, won't have a word said against him at the Hilton Hotel about an hour before kickoff, and we wished him all the very best. And obviously, he was feeling sympathetic to those very nice Warrington fans who spoke to him, wasn't he?
We're putting it down to you, Sam, are we?
Dearie me. Well, I couldn't comprehend that he didn't. Is Thaler not allowed to go in his ear? In the NRL, they're allowed to go in their ear and say, whoa, just stop there a minute, mate. You've made a mistake. Let's go back and look at it.
Does it matter? Read it in the newspaper.
One thing that did worry me at the time when it happened, I thought, at some point he's going to be told at halftime that he's made a mistake. And clearly the best outcome for him then in the second half is for St. Helens to win, you know, because then it would all be forgotten about, wouldn't it? But,
It was really early. You've written 18 minutes down there. I thought it was a lot earlier than that. But it was really early in the game. And it didn't change the game. It did mean, as we spoke last week, we said if we don't want to be behind and having to play catch up rugby, it did keep us at nil. And the longer the game was at nil, the better and more confident we got. So I accept that. But there was still 70 minutes to go.
I know, but they were just getting on a little bit of a roll when that happened, wasn't it? And then all of a sudden, it alleviated us and we were fine. Okay, 25th minute, and this happened.
Philbin. See, has that nair and scare and style, doesn't he? All action when he takes that ball in. Now it's Jason Clark. grabbing back towards the middle. They've set up a very good position here, Warrington. Daryl Clark back to Philbin again, who's just hurtling towards the line. It's rolled over. Has he touched it down? The referee says he has. It's the Warrington-born Joe Philbin who gets Warrington up and running.
Yes, beautiful there. Philbin charging onto the ball, cutting at an angle. Even a protractor would struggle to cope with. What a game he had, Sam. What a game. Best prop on the field, wasn't he, by a country mile?
Certainly in that first spell, he came off the bench and he really did inject energy, enthusiasm. It was like a wrecking ball for his first two or three carries.
Let's not say inject. Careful. We don't want to go down that path. We're not Wigan in 1985. Right? Billy McGinty went from about 14 stone to 18 stone when he moved over to Wigan. Let's not go there.
But he did. He brought some big go forward for us. And I think he carried the ball twice in that set, didn't he? He carried the ball, got a fairly quick play the ball, and then he came again two tackles later, charging onto it. Yeah. Brilliant, brilliant.
Can I just say, Rob, you're not getting any ideas about playing that Philbin song again, are you?
Well, I was.
No, leave it.
Maybe a little bit later.
No.
A little bit later. But we had record numbers when we downloaded that. Actually, I've had a request, so we'll come on to that later. Dennis, not only does he make lots of yards, they can't get him down. He plays the ball so quickly because he's standing up in the tackle every time. There was one occasion where Luke Thompson tried to put him on his arse, couldn't get him down. And again, he's playing it quickly, getting it just on that roll the whole time. Interesting, I got a couple of texts today from a few Aussie guys. Both asking me who he was. Watch out. The NRL will be after Philbin if they're not paying him enough money, if he keeps that form up.
No. Yeah, but no, I don't think so. I think he's got another year yet to prove himself, if that's the case.
I just hope the fact that he's a local lad, he's not getting paid local wages, and he's seen as just, you know, someone who's the same as everyone else, because I just worry if they take advantage of him, because what a game he had. I mean, it's the kind of game where you really need a sing-along, isn't it? We should probably have a think about
that. No.
I think just before we go off Philbin, though, he's shown that in patches throughout the last 2 years, hasn't he? He's not done it week in, week out, but he's shown every now and again he's got that. And to bring it out on the big game when it mattered, that first spell, outstanding.
Yeah, absolutely outstanding. Very close to man of the match, really, I thought. 32nd minute, it gets even better for the Wire as Ben Murdoch-Masilla takes a short ball from Hughes close to the line and he crashes over.
Now it's Davis. He's put down. Daryl Clark. Saints stand and wait for some more bruising defending to do, but they've been caught short. And Ben Murdoch-Masilla, from the hands of Hughes, finds a gap again. Warrington have a second at 10 points to nil.
Dennis, the big fella at his best there, close to the line. Boom, straight over.
That's exactly how we should be playing Big Ben in it, round the ruck like that, close to the line. You know, if you can expose a player one-on-one, then obviously it's a foregone conclusion. But what a great guy yesterday. I mean, how many minutes did he play? I think he went off about 60, 70 minutes or something, I think. He played big minutes yesterday.
He made some great tackles as well. There was a few one-on-ones he made where he got people. Intriguing to see that the person who passed him that ball was Hughes, who, just a nice subtle ball from Hughes, just delayed it. It was flat. It was, you know, it was on the verge of forward, but he went through that gap. Question mark, he's not been getting those balls before.
Yeah. For 20 minutes, he was the little halfback that we've needed all year, wasn't he? He was just putting, exactly as you say, a nice ball just for someone to run onto, nice and straightforward.
Gareth Walker in the Mirror today was commenting on that Ratchford played at six through the game. He came into the line when he was. I didn't really notice who was where, but he seemed to think that he was more of the integral six than Hughes. Hughes was just an extra second row forward.
Hughes was at first receiver in that first 20 minutes. Every time we came to the right, Hughes was first receiver, just doing a little drop-off ball, either inside or a little flat pass that led to the try. And when we got any set moves, yes, Ratchford was then running into the line.
Yeah, I thought he was leaning a bit, Hughes, to the right. I'm not sure if it's his right bollock that's swollen, but he just seems to have a little bit of a bias towards that
clarify,
right.
Can I just clarify, you've not done a soundbite for this, have you? We're not having any bollock sketches or out like that.
Give it time. Right, okay, lads, it's 12-0, it's half-time. Tell me about what happened at half-time. Come on, Sam, with you first.
Okay, yeah, I want to bring this up about half-time. Last week, other people were negative. We weren't. We had a very positive podcast
last week.
Albeit, yes. I think we all went for Saints to win. But we did say, genuinely, we did say if we had any chance at all, we needed a high completion rate and no errors.
Win that second half.
And at half time, we'd completed 17 out of 19 sets, 89%. That is what effectively got us that 12-0 lead. Lack of errors and excellent effort all the way through. Outstanding
what was the,
first half.
Tackles at half time, Sam? Have you got that stat?
I haven't. I've looked for the stats and they're not on.
Too busy drinking champagne.
Yeah.
They're not on the Coral Challenge Cup website. So maybe the. Maybe they're waiting for Warrington to download their own information.
The tackle stats for half time.
Excellent.
Good 200.
They were on the BBC,
St. Helens,
I think.
And 126 for Warrington.
And there you go.
Well, now, Sam, your stats, I have to bring them into question here. You've had 7 hours since you stopped drinking. Why haven't you got the stats ready for us?
Because I couldn't be asked.
Bloody champagne drinking. I think is he getting a fine?
It's Prosecco. It's Prosecco. I'm not wasting champagne on this podcast.
He didn't wear his What Were Brian Bevan t-shirt at Wembley yesterday, Dennis, either. Yeah. So you've had a stiff word with it.
I wore my lucky t-shirt. Lucky t-shirt. So I'm taking credit for that as well.
So, Dennis, what did you do at half-time, mate? And just how come you ended up in the Royal Box? I mean, absolutely brilliant. You were right behind Rimmer and Stuart Pearce and...
I've no idea.
It was belting, wasn't it?
I know. We were discussing where we were sitting and things, and I had absolutely no clue. I was a bit worse for wear at that point, and then really didn't even understand where the Royal Box was. And then I saw the shiny thing just down in the bottom corner, and we were very close. It was a strange affair, really, finding ourselves there. But
how were the bladders at halftime, lads? Because, I mean, you were both pissed. You were both sending me messages at about 2 o'clock.
I was driving. My bladder was fine yesterday.
Yeah. So then you've got no excuse, Sam, for a few of the WhatsApp messages you sent to me in the second half about a certain player. But we'll see how we go.
Only on one occasion.
Right, 12-0, half-time. Did we think we were home and dry? What was the feeling amongst the camp? I still thought we needed a couple more tries. But boy, it was a good half. As you said, Sam, we just didn't put a foot wrong. Did we actually give one penalty away in that first half for lying on? I don't remember on one occasion them getting anything at all to sort of get on a roll.
It was actually quite a clean game, wasn't it? Or at least the first half was. It started to be a bit more stop. That's bad English, isn't it? It started to be a bit more stop-start in the second half. But the first half just flowed, and it was an excellent game, really.
Yeah, Rob, you look at that 43 minutes, the Lynham try disallowed, is this the equaling up of the referee count after the mistake in the first half? Or is that a truly legitimate try ruled out again?
Well, it was embarrassing to see how Thaler had no idea of perspective, did he? And the fact he was looking at a 2D image, because... they showed it almost from one angle as if, you know, he was touching Bryson Goodwin's leg as he went through Lynham. And then they showed a beautiful angle from behind. And he's clearly 6 inches away from Goodwin's leg. But then, of course, they bring it back to the other angle and it looks as if he's touching him. It was very, very first, odd.
Yeah, for the first time, first time possibly ever, I'm going to defend Thaler there, because it almost sounded in his voice like... he thought there was nothing wrong, but because he'd just brushed Goodwin and he'd given no try, he just said, yeah, he's just touched him there, so I have to go with the on... I think his words were, I have to go with the on-field call of no try.
It's a load of
bollocks.
I
don't need to see anything more. Yeah.
We don't know whether he got the ball down. They never actually showed that, did they?
No.
I think he probably did. Yeah. Although Lynham does have a habit of celebrating when he hasn't scored as well. But
he does like a good celebration, doesn't he, Lynham?
He does, yeah.
It's that strong lager. Strong lager, that.
Anyway, kind of cancelled out their try that they got, didn't it? So I guess it was, you know, all things equal. Right, okay. And then 55th minute, after Patton kicks out on the full, I won't mention the WhatsApp message that Sam sent to me, Saints get some great field possession and Theo Farge wriggles his way over the line.
This is Roby, left to Farge, Farge with a step, Farge reaches, has he touched it down? Yes, he has, the finger points, the little Frenchman might just have begun a revolution here. St Helens back in a contest with a try.
But bizarrely, Coop misses the kick and Wire is still 12-4. He had to be concussed, didn't he? I mean, he dropped that ball in the first half, which, okay, you know, fullbacks drop balls, but when he missed that kick, it just didn't seem right. There was something not right with him.
And that was the moment when I thought it was our day. When he missed that kick, I thought, we've got this. We've got this.
At 12-4, then on the 63rd minute, Saints are coming at about 40. Well, they're sort of just coming up to the halfway line. They're about to start another set of six. They've been given a penalty, and he's thrown the ball again, and Coop just drops it. Just drops it. Absolutely. Just perfectly for us again. It just...
It was passed to his face, though. It was right in front of his face, wasn't it?
Till I've had things in front of my face, Dennis, that I've had kept hold of.
Jesus Christ.
Right. Well, it really was, wasn't it? It was a bit like the Sandy Cam death march then for the next 10 minutes, because they were all out on their feet, weren't they? From that sort of 60th minute through to the 70th minute, it was just... They were all boxing up like a bunch of schools.
I think what's important, I did send you a slightly derogatory text, didn't I, when young Declan kicked out on the full when he had about 4 acres to kick into. But we were under big pressure for that next 10 minutes. And to be fair to the lad, he produced two outstanding clearing kicks, didn't he, that found the ground, bounced past Coote again, and actually got us out of trouble in that 10 minutes, pressure relieving.
Are you referring to the text, Sam, that says, he's so shit when the chips are down? Is that...
That'll be the one. Yes. That'll be the one.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, dearie me. Yeah, there was a... We kicked for touch at one time. There was a... We were sort of pressuring their line and we just decided to kick the ball into touch. I couldn't quite comprehend that. One thing that Jonathan Davis kept going on about was... We kept putting the ball up into the shade. There's all that sun on the other side of the ground.
I think that was a result of the first half where we'd gone to Makinson's side twice. Twice he'd taken the ball on the run and looked like he was going to break. And I think we'd made it. You're right. If we'd gone into the sun, he was going to struggle to take it. But we'd seemingly taken a deliberate decision to kick to Regan Grace rather than Tommy Makinson.
Is it not because of the fact that when Jonathan Davis was playing, it was like in the winter and he's not used to seeing the sun? Is that why he kept coming up with that? Fucking idiot.
Do you? Well, 71st minute and the cup was ours.
Is he on the verge of victory here, along with his teammates in primrose and blue? Warrington fans are in great voice. Warrington players are in great position. Cooper smashes in, up and down, nine away and four tackles to go. You'd fancy him. This is Philpin, held up, put down, five out. Darryl Clark runs to the left to win it. Darryl Clark reaches and scores, and his 150th Warrington appearance will surely now be a Challenge Cup final victory. Warrington over the line, both in terms of that try line and sure.
Sam, what a game he had. Absolutely outstanding. I mean, he played Roby off the park.
The guy was immense. We've talked about him all year, haven't we, as being the guy who week in, week out has been leading our team. Inspirational. I've not got the words to sum up that performance other than to say it was outstanding?
The Man of Steel awards don't take into consideration, I don't think, that inspirational bit for the rest of the team and things. And that those elements of where he changes the game, you know, he picks up and runs and then gets us on the front foot and things. And when you look at, you know, at the end of the season, he probably won't get the Man of Steel awards. I think it's, you know, they need to look at, again, how would they score that? Because that surely, we've been calling it every week. He's probably had, you know, 20 of the, you know, best player of the week sort of thing from us. It just shows that that's where he should be.
Well, yeah. I think there's no doubt that he will end up being picked as the hooker for the Dream Team. And I think there's no doubt he will be wearing a Great Britain shirt.
Oh, I'll tell you what, the lad at Canberra's playing very well and Wayne Bennett watches a lot of NRL. I'll be surprised if he gets that many minutes.
But he'll have two hookers and Clark will be one, Hodgson will be the other.
Completely different players, really, though, aren't they? Because he's good distributing the ball, isn't he, over there in Canberra? But dummy half runs that Clark does, no one beats that. One thing I must say is that I did notice, and I was counting it. I think Philbin was told to run at Roby every time, and they were all running at Roby, and they absolutely. I felt sorry for Roby, for poor bloke. He really ran over by the end of the match. And if that was a strategy I noticed right the way through the game. He was completely gone. He was out the line a couple of times because they ran at him about three times, so he couldn't get back. And then I think he put a couple of passes out that were eventually knocked on, like one from Coop and things like that. Just really tired passes.
Just not quite on you. Yeah, under pressure. Sorry, Rob.
What happened to their props? What happened to Wormsley and Thompson? Just too hot? What happened? They just didn't show up, did they?
They did for the first 20. Again, that first 20 minutes, us not conceding in that first 20 minutes was key, because they were running, the Saints were running hard. They were making more meters than us. They were looking dangerous, but we scrambled, we fought, we battled just to hold them. And after that, it was even Stevens. After that, they proved they're just normal men.
I think the other thing as well is that I think they learnt a lot from last year and how the forwards must have been feeling last year, because I think if you get on top of the forwards at Wembley in the heat and the sun and everything, I think if you can just get the up on them, they just haven't got the energy.
How was the conditions in the Royal Box, Dennis?
Not too bad. We're a bit further back, so we didn't quite get the air conditioning. But I think Prince Harry wanted to turn it off anyway for his carbon footprint offset.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point. Well, let's
there's
hear
two
what
things we've not. Sorry, okay. Rob. There's two important things we've not mentioned yet about that second half. First of all, there was the break that Clark made down the middle of the pitch from dummy half, again getting us out of trouble, and Grace knocking on. And of course, there was a try-saving tackle by Bryson Goodwin when Makinson looked like he was going to score for all the world.
Yeah. They spoke about afterwards that they said that was the, you know, they'd practiced that. They'd practiced going for the arm. I've always wondered that for a while. I've always thought it's almost, you know, go for the arm or go for the ankle. Try and push the ankle down on the line rather than this sort of horizontal push at the hip that they're trying to do.
Yeah, if you're at either end. Yeah.
Yeah, I've always found my best work comes at either end. I never get much chance in the middle. Right, final score. Final score. Warrington 18, St Helens 4. Let's hear what the two coaches had to say.
Many congratulations, Steve. You're drenched, but you don't mind.
I had to take a special performance today. They've been the best benchmark team all season. And I don't know what our completion rate was, but we stayed at it, we broke them down, and I'm just ecstatic for the playing group. It was just so proud of them.
Five straight defeats coming into this game. Massive underdogs. No one gave you a breath. Where did that performance come from?
I don't know what type of team I got there, and that's the sort of DNA we've got in our club. So it's there. We just got to do it more often. So what a game! What a game!
Without your main man Blake Austin.
Yeah, that's right. We had to change up a little bit. You know, Jack Hughes going over there, I thought he really muscled up defensively over on our right edge. You know, we spoke about this guy being Lance Todd today, and he certainly delivered. To Dad, if you're listening,
I love you, mate. Justin, first things first, I know you wanted to pay tribute to Warrington. That was a heck of a performance from them and your mate Steve Price.
Yeah, definitely. Cracking game of rugby league, and yeah, Warrington got in front and tough, warm conditions. It's hard to peg them back.
Could you believe, though, some of the mistakes that your team were making? You probably made more mistakes today than you've made all season.
Oh, it's late in the game when you're chasing a game, you know. We had a few things that could have gone differently. Put us in front, you play a bit differently, don't you? But when you're chasing points, as I said, on a hot day, makes it tough.
Talking about being in front, you might well have been if they'd had a look at that Morgan Knowles try in the opening few minutes.
Oh, definitely. I don't want to sour grapes the coach, but that's a try. There, one, he hits a knock-on, so it's a 12-point swing, and then you're chasing the game at a 30-degree. I don't want to sound sour grapes. Warrington, unbelievable today. You know, I'm that proud of us. We tried so hard, and, you know, that first 25 minutes of that second half, we threw everything at them. We pinned them on their try line, and they kept turning up. So, you know, but big decisions like that hurt you in big games, and it's, you know, it's tough to take.
So Holbrook, obviously very disappointed, Sam, about the try that wasn't given. He also brought something up. I can't quite what he actually means. Something about a knock-on. I think he's referring to the Philbin try, because when we did throw that ball out, it was a knock-on by Toby King. It did come off King before it hit Grace, didn't it?
And it did, and he waved six to go. He waved six to go, but it was more or less on halfway. You've got to defend that, haven't you? In the second half, they knocked the ball on from a high kick, and Hicks said it went backwards, but in front of me, it looked like it had gone a metre forward. So you've got to defend them.
I thought he was on about the try that was ruled out, the other one for them, you know, where was it Taylor who dropped it over the line or something?
Yeah, you see, that was
a loose carry. That was a definite.
Yeah, it was very similar to the England-Tongan game, wasn't it? You know, that last second where Tonga had a ball pulled out and they didn't give it. And the referee had death threats and has since given away the game. Right, happy days. Let's move on to the predictions. Sam went for Warrington 10, St Helens 34. Dennis, after listening back to you waffling on for 3 minutes whilst you were off your tits on Plunger Coffee, it turns out you never actually gave a score. So
I did. When I was plunging, if you remember, there was a bit of a bubbling sound in front of the mic. And I said clearly, Warrington 18, St Helens 4. So for a cup final multi-bonus round win, I think that puts me out in front. You never thought it would happen.
Well, I went 18 all, so I got Warrington's score right. So that's another 5 points to me, isn't it, really? So I think you know what it's time for, boys. Dennis, blow the fluff off the needle. Crank it up to speed 45. It's time for an encore. Yes, by popular demand from Grappinall Retirement Village. It's Philbin's sing-along.
No!
A young prop forward, he's always in our team. A jolly red-faced young man, he really is a fantasy locker dream. He's too kind to be a prop forward, he's never known to frown, and everyone says he's the happiest wire in town.
It absolutely would be. It absolutely would be.
He laughs upon his tackling, he laughs upon his scrums, he laughs at everyone when he's charging on his runs. He never can stop laughing, he says when he scores a try. I once saw him spear tackle a man, he laughed until he cried.
It absolutely loved it. Yeah. It absolutely loved it.
He grits his face while catching, and then he shuts his eyes. He opens his great thunderous legs to show off his huge thighs. You cannot help but look and gasp, and now I know where he's on the rise. There's certainly no question with a huge cock that size.
It absolutely loved it. Yeah.
It doesn't get any better, does it? It's shit.
No. Popular demand by who?
Yeah. Grappinall Retirement Village. A couple of them wrote in about that. Jeez. Oh, dear. Well, Dennis was sitting very close to this man. Ralph Rimmer, having no luck on Dragon's Den, his search for the RL Holy Grail and Madam Boy's balls continues. This episode, will Rimmer be able to sugarcoat his idea at an apprenticeship bid, or will it end up with Ralph's firing?
This is not about a job anymore. I'm the investor. and you're going to make me some money.
Yeah, Charlie.
Heading to London, all keen to kickstart a company.
I'm not looking for a friend. If I want a friend, I'll get a dog.
I'll do it.
I'm looking for a partner. This is about me investing £250,000 into a business with one of you.
On offer, a 50-50 deal with the nation's most demanding investor. 16 candidates.
Suck eggs.
You don't have to teach me how to suck eggs. I know how to ask all that. I'm in a rut.
12 tough weeks.
Butterfingers, silly me. Blood.
One life-changing opportunity.
You're fired. You're fired. This is my ballroom, and by the way, this is my money. You're fired.
God, it's bloody early.
6 a.m.
Lord Sugar hopefully will invest in my plans today for Champagne Super League. It's a great idea for TV.
Plans in hand. It's off to the city.
Do you think we could stop off in Soho first? Oh, I think my proposal's a winner.
Yours feels heavier. You got bigger font than me.
Yes, I do find bigger font helps.
Finally, assessing their plans with a sharp eye and even sharper tongue, founder of a global design company, Linda Plant.
Hello, Linda. You're a lovely lady.
How much profit did you make?
Well, we didn't profit. I made a massive loss.
Wait, you made a massive loss?
Yes, that's right. It dwindled away.
So you made a loss, you don't know how much it was. Loss, it was massive, you had money in the bank, it dwindled away. Do you know what you're talking about here?
No.
No, that's what I think.
Hello, Claude.
Right. This is my 10th year of doing this, and I've got to say that when I read your application form...
Oh, yes.
..and then when I read your CV...
You mean my vital statistic?
It filled me with pleasure.
Oh, you're a lovely man. Super.
There were no boastful brags about how great you are and how you're the greatest salesman or you're the greatest everything.
Oh,
it was
no.
Very, very mature.
Oh, yes.
Very nicely written.
Mm.
So from my point of view, that was a sheer pleasure.
Oh, that's lovely, Claude. Finally, somebody who understands me.
I've told you how pleased I was with your CV.
Yes.
And then I came on to actually look at the proposal that you're pitching for Lord Sugar.
Yes.
And frankly, it's a bloody disgrace.
Oh, bloody hell, Claude.
It's a bloody disgrace.
Surely not.
The 10 years I've done this, I've never seen something that's put together two bloody pages with pictures on one page.
I can only draw.
What do you think you're coming here for? What do you think you're coming here for?
Investment.
You can leave.
Really?
Goodbye.
But the pictures, Claude. I mean, showing the RFL and the Super League all in one boat. Surely you can't argue against that.
There's nothing to argue. You give me pictures of sailboats.
Yes.
You give me pictures of sailboats. What am I going to work on?
You could be the captain of the RFL sailboat.
Pictures of sailboats? What is that?
Well, it's my vision for taking the game overseas.
Pictures of sailboats?
Yes, the RFL sailboat.
What is that?
Well, it's my strategy, Claude. It's the RFL sailboat sailing through choppy waters, coming up with great ideas.
And you're taking the piss.
Oh, that's a bit much, Claude.
Please leave.
Well, if you're going to be like that, I'll find my own way out. You bald bastard.
That's not the way out.
Oh, bloody hell. Oh, I'm tired. It's so late.
4 p.m.
It's nearly my bedtime. Yes, I'm hoping I'll impress Alan in the boardroom today.
The boardroom.
I'll get him back in.
You can go through to the boardroom now.
Oh, I'm shitting bricks.
Afternoon.
Hello, Lord Sugar.
My advisors looked at me in this boardroom earlier today.
Yes?
They said to me that you're full of shit, basically.
Oh, that's harsh, Alan.
Well, you know, I'm the greatest salesman in that. I broke the record in this.
Yes.
I did that and I did this and all that stuff.
Well, I did.
Volunteer of the Year Award.
Yes, mostly me, Alan.
That, I'm sorry, that's not true.
Well, that was Carl Fitzpatrick.
My instinct tells me...
Yes?
..for you're not for this process.
Oh, bloody hell, Alan.
You're fired.
Oh, no. Don't give up, Alan. I mean, we could stream live rugby league through your Amstrads, through the interweb. I could even bring Robert Elston back with me.
You know what? I'll tell you what I'm going to do with you. I'm getting sick and tired of you denying all this, you know?
I'm not in denial.
I'm sick of looking at you at the moment. Get out that door.
What door?
Get back to the bloody house.
On okay? Boyd's house.
Get back to the house. You're fired.
Well, there's no need for that, you short, stumpy shitter. Well, I think Sir Alan has made a very bad mistake not going into business with me. It's his loss. Now, where's Robert? Could you order me a taxi? I'm afraid I haven't got any money.
Oh, dear. Didn't go well for him, Dennis.
I mean, let's just analyse the fuckwit this week. We mentioned about me going to Blackpool last week, and I've woke up this morning a bit sort of tired. God knows what those players are feeling like, and he's allowed that game to be moved to Thursday against Salford. Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah. What an idiot! I mean, somebody, come on, he needs to stand up to like Robert Elston or whatever, whoever's dictating this, and just say it's not happening.
Oh, I don't think. Okay, we'll move. Yes.
I'm waiting for John Wells to stand in front of the screen on Sky and say, "We're going to analyse the fuckwit this week."
Is it my turn?
Well, let's move on to poll, readers' wives, and what would Brian Bevan say? Swap. The poll this week was: what would be the best way to bring the magic back to the Challenge Cup? Well, I think the best way to bring it back would be for Warrington to win. And we saw that yesterday, didn't we? We had four options, rounds closer together, better marketing, all teams in the hat from round one, or the move, the cup moves back to May. I think they have now moved the cup, haven't they, Sam?
Yeah, it's the 18th, I think it's the 18th of July next year, the final, just before all the kids go on holiday.
I think one of the problems with the cup I noticed is today is it's definitely changed from years gone by. There's not as many neutral fans go to the match anymore. It used to be quite a sort of like a collaboration of all the different fans. You'd usually see all the jumpers like around the ground, but you don't see that now.
Well, we were talking about this. I mean, the mining community used to go. Every mine used to sort of put a couple of pounds in a hat every week and they'd all go down. You know, you've got 20,000 there. And they've all disappeared, so it is hard now.
Yeah. Also, the Magic Weekend seems to have taken away, because you can book for the Magic Weekend knowing you're going to see your team, because you know they're going to play. So yeah, whether that's taking about 35, 40,000 people turn up to that. So whether that's taken away that neutral element to the Challenge
Cup. What about putting the 1895 on before the Challenge Cup final? That seemed a bit of a daft thing, having it after.
Well, maybe they don't want the pitch being chewed up or something.
Yeah, but we've talked about pitches. Well, it's a new, pitch. It doesn't get chewed up, does it?
And we must say, Great Sankey High won the pre-match game. Great
Sankey High! Great Sankey High! Great Sankey High!
You know where that is?
High Eaters from Standish.
Hey, I worked at Sankey Forum Leisure Centre, I'll have you know, Dennis, on that pool.
Did you? Tell you what.
Nature Night, whatever they called it. We used to block out the windows. It was bollocks and going up and down that pool everywhere. Jesus. Anyway, the poll was won by all teams in hat should be in the hat round one with 39%. So we are traditional. People like that sort of romance of the cup. You know, Warrington playing Runcorn Highfield, all that kind of thing. It was closely followed by move the final back, to May. It's going to be July now to 24%. But it was quite an even spread across all four, basically to say rounds need to be closer together. We need some form of marketing because there doesn't seem to be any marketing. Get the romance back and get big teams playing small teams and move the final to a more appropriate weekend. So if you're listening, Rimmer, you can do. Right, let's move on to the most popular section now of the podcast, and that's what would Brian Bevan swap? We've had a couple come in this week. We've had an email from Justin Yermelf. Justin says he's looking for a life-size Wolfie doll. He's willing to swap two Bagpuss figurines, a wood carving of Professor Yaffle and Gabrielle the Toad. Unfortunately, it's missing the banjo. However, he does go on to say he's only willing to swap to take place if Wolfie's doll comes with a complete set of genitals. So, see what.
Right.
We will fix it. We will mend it.
Oh, my God. Don't you start with the sound bites. Jesus.
We've heard a former Warrington player, Craig Teitzel. Craig Teitzel has written.
Bloody hell.
He's been in touch. He says he wants to swap a grilled cheese sandwich with the face of the Virgin Mary on for a ghost in a jar. So if anyone's got it.
Ghost in a jar? Jesus.
And Mr. Hassel.
Chased a few of them.
Mr. Hassel has tweeted in. He says, I'm sceptical of the Betfred Super League recently bragging about players' speeds. Is Daryl Clark really that fast? Well, Mr. Hassel, I wouldn't put it past Daryl to be as quick, in fact, as probably, I don't know, the Grand National winner.
And Carroll Street is next, and at the third last, it's Red Ram over in the lead, chased by Churchtown Boy. The Pilgarlic is third, Eyecatcher fourth, Wanabak is fifth, Heavy Ranger is sixth, then Forest King seventh, Carroll Street 8th, and we've got to look a long way back for anything else, but Red Ram the leader across the Melling Road, Churchtown Boy closing, the Pilgarlic in 3rd place, Eyecatcher 4th, and over to you, Peter.
And it's Red Rum now that leads. He's surrounded by 2 loose horses, and he's only got 3 fences left to jump now between he and Grand National history, going for his 3rd Grand National win. And behind him is Churchtown Boy by 2 lengths. Then we go back to In Spades, followed by Resilient, and then it's Captain Plange. Not forgetting their Bang the Drum. What Would Mother Do? 1% now, probably 20% behind, and finished off by Orchestra Bubble. And it's Red Rum, and he's over the 2nd last now, and he's leading by 3 lengths from Churchtown Boy in 2nd there. In 3rd place is In Spades, Resilient. Oh, there's one being gone there. One's gone. It's Bang the Drum. He's refused at that one. He stuttered. He's made a complete cock above it. And behind that is What Would Mother Do? Then it's 1%. And then it's Orchestra Bubble. As we come down to the last fence, and it seems history now is in the making, as Red Rum only needs to jump this. He's 4 lengths clear of Churchtown Boy. In Spades, Resilient's falling back. And then it comes What Would Mother Do? 1% and Orchestra Bubble. And as he jumps the last, and he comes down the front, it's Red Rum by a clear 7 lengths now from Churchtown Boy. In 3rd place is In Spades, making up the ground now is Orchestra Bubble, then 1%, and then What Would Mother Do? As they reach the elbow, and it's Red Rum now coming clear of everyone else. He's coming down to the line. There's no one going to stop him. Orchestra Bubble's not going to come. He's coming late, but he's not going to get there. In Spades is shot. Churchtown Boy's looking the wrong way. And What Would Mother Do? Who knows? 3 lengths to go, and it's Red Rum. He's going to win the National. You've never heard a reception like it. But wait, here comes on the outside. It's Daryl Clark from nowhere, ridden by Wolfie. He's going to get it on the line. And Daryl Clark wins the National, followed by Red Rum. Then it's Churchtown Boy. In Spades, Resilience disappeared altogether. 1%, 50% behind. And picking up the rear is Orchestra Bubble. And What Would Mother Do? He's taking a drink at the water jump.
Indeed. I lost my breath doing that soundbite.
Yeah, I went purple towards the end.
Very good. It was very good.
Oh, dear. Now, our pack may be under debate, but there's a pack that needs to be shuffled. Yes, Dennis has acted on his top Trump idea. I dread to think where this is leading. Everyone, come on, take your place at the card table. It's over to Dennis's Tackle Bags.
Tackle Bags.
Ah, good to be back. Winning, good to be back. In the last installment of Tackle Bags, we discussed Strife Swap. The Strife Swap, a term coined for the frantic scramble of clubs completing deals in the before the transfer window is closed. The concept being an RFL Top Trumps app, an up-to-date portal holding the player stats that could be instantaneously be made available for all the clubs to look at and view for transfers and player exchanges through the season. Well, we asked for some feedback on Strife Swap, the app, and it proved to be a good idea. And if it is a good idea, then I'll have a one-to-one with Ralph Rimmer to discuss the implementation again. Anyway, unfortunately, when we launched the media promotion for this item, it inadvertently picked up on the internet by a well-known adult page, and the suggestions for the criteria were skewed for wife swaps. I do apologise for this, gent. So I have, in the true spirit of Tackle Bags and the Strife Swap app, I've spent many hours analysing and sorting the wife swap correspondence from the Tackle Bags mail. And I've cleaned it up. So, I'm not going to read all of them out, and certainly not going to share those pictures with you. Anyway, yes, 62%, Big Mike, spot on. I've been trying to trade in my ugly half for years for a younger... sexy model that has a soft pair of hands. Ooh. Well, I took that as a rugby one, as a, I think qualifies. So,
yeah.
Good. No, this is off Logophile Jane. It's degrading to have all your pictures and vital statistics all over the internet. Don't judge a book by its colophon. I've got some special move to pull off tackles. Hey?
So I'm not sure which one that one was, Dennis.
I think that was a rugby one, wasn't it? Anyway, other 5%. Mrs. H, hairdresser in Warrington. Oh. Can I have Sam's phone number? He's my top trump.
Interesting.
Sam, you want me to pass your details on there?
Yeah, you can do, no problem. Quite happy to meet the public.
Okay. Sounds like you've already met her. Anyway, this week we're going to discuss referees. Well, what a time to discuss referees.
Very good. Yeah. Very good, Dennis. I mean, it's not as if there's not every week there's a referee on the field, is it?
That's exactly right. Interesting. Yeah, you got an insight into my tackle bags, haven't you? Doesn't sit well, that. We're going to look at the officials and referees. Following on from the success of my standard calls feature. Do you remember that? Does everybody remember? What do you mean? The standard calls?
Yes, we remember that. Yeah, move on. Yeah, of course we remember it.
You do sound like that you're making that up now.
God, choking.
Hey? Oh.
Sorry, I had a bit of milk then and it's gone down the wrong way.
Oh.
Carry on.
All right. Sorry. You can't hear it. Right, anyway.
Are you having a stroke, Dennis? What's happened?
Yeah, I'm a bit. Anyway, I'm looking at the assisting the referees on the field. I think it always gets quite controversial, this. And I'd like to, help them out. I think we've always been quite generally complimentary of referees. I don't think we've like really sort of go at them like some people, and rightly so, because I wouldn't want to do that job. It's such a difficult job, putting yourself in front of that big crowd between all them players and everything, and you really want all the help you can get. So Australia, I had a brief chat about Australia referees with you, Rob. I think this has helped the game around the ruck. Gives the officials a bit more perspective as the play happens. Reduce the penalties in general, would you say, as well?
Sorry, definitely. Yeah. Everyone thought that it would go the other way. You have two voices out there rather than the one. Yeah. You end up with twice as many penalties. But no, it's gone the other way. There's been a significant reduction in penalties.
Yeah.
Which is good.
So you don't
I'm all for cloning. I think we should clone referees. I think there'd be nothing better than having two Ben Thalers out there or two Robert Hickses. I think that's the way. I think that's the way we need to go.
Right. Okay. Well, we're saying that that's a good way to go, and we're not copying. Go on.
I tell you what. If I had twins, I'd get them into rugby league. Identical twins.
Of.
And then get them out there as referees. They'd get all the work, wouldn't they? Identical referees.
That's a good idea.
They'd have that telepathy between them, so they'd both know what they were going to call.
To be fair, Robert Hicks and Ben Thaler have got some kind of sixth sense between them, haven't they?
Anyway, let's get back to tackle bags. we think it's a good idea. So how do we pay for it? Well, what the in-goal judge is doing, I've calculated that there's been about 1,228 tries in Super League in 26 rounds this year. Now, it only takes a second to score a try. And more importantly,
To fall in love.
Yeah, Jesus. More importantly, an average of about 5 seconds to verify the score between the in-goal judge and the referee. And let's be honest, when you see it go in, they more or less ignore the in-goal judge anyway. So, in total, that's 6,140 seconds to review all the tries up to now, which is 1.7 hours. At £200 a match fee, cost of two judges, £31,200 a year to have those in-goal judges, basically, for what effectively is 1.7 hours worth of work. So, basically, that's 1%, 0.8% of the time they're employed. I've calculated that as 1% productivity. It's ridiculous. It needs to change.
1%?
Yes. Isn't that weird how it all comes around?
Yeah.
It's 1%.
Very good.
Now, so what I'm trying to say here is that I work in an environment where I'm always looking at productivity. That is just not acceptable. So why have we come up with this shitty solution of having a bloke stood there for basically 79 minutes? Eh?
Or a lady.
Why, have we got lady ones?
Well, you could have.
Yes. Yeah, you have been in Australia.
You do, yeah.
You've got England judges over there as well. They've got more money.
I don't know. Possibly. Yep. Yeah, maybe. I'm not sure.
No, so, every match is televised in Australia. They don't need them.
So they don't need it. So, what do you
do? So, was there none at Wembley yesterday?
Nope.
No.
So, had there been one at Wembley yesterday, you'd have certainly, you know, 1% would have gone a long way, wouldn't it? Mm?
Yes. Well, I don't. You're breaking down my tackle bag. Anyway, the point I want to make is that why can't we reinvest that money into something else? Do we just do we then get the clubs to invest in it? So because they're always complaining, they get the coaches complaining about referees, etc. Why aren't there an allocation from the Super League to actually sort this out? Because, you know, it's embarrassing for the game, isn't it? And there's plenty of opportunities to get money, you know, back in, paying for things that are going to make a difference to the game. Yeah.
We can't be that far off a drone referee.
Drone refing. Could be in charge of that, and he could drone be flying it around the pitch.
Dennis is getting his pen out there. Look, he likes
so,
that one.
So, for £31,200, divided by six games a week, we could afford to have $5,000 each for a drone every week to cover off the in-goal areas for every game in Super League, thus not needing in-goal judges or Sky TV, but you have a drone covering the back of the in-goal area.
I'll do the marketing. No moaning, we're droning. There you go. Oh,
brilliant. So if you like that idea, we're going to write to... Oh, no, I'm having a one-to-one meeting with Ralph Rimmer. Jesus Christ. I'll suggest that idea. If you think it's a great idea, write to us at whatbevin@gmail.com, at the Facebook Brian Bevin page, and wherever Rob London leaves his hat, that's his home.
Yeah, very good, Dennis. Very good, very and good. we are getting a referee on, aren't we, in a few weeks, Dennis? Is this talk? You're in negotiations to get a referee on the podcast. So
currently in negotiations to, because I actually sourced my facts and figures there from a well-known refereeing person.
Fred Lindop. Okay, it's Salford away, and why actually will they be putting a team out? I mean, it's utterly ridiculous that we're playing on a Thursday night, Sam. What team are we going to put out, mate? They're all pissed today. They're all dehydrated. I mean, what the hell are we putting out on Thursday?
Well, first of all, you're right. It is an absolute disgrace that either Warrington or St Helens would be asked to play on Thursday. Utterly, utterly disgusting. But the team... Fullback Thewlis.
Ooh.
We'll have Tarzi and Westwood at prop, probably Walker at hooker, and then you've got Levett and Johnson perhaps playing in the second row or on the bench.
Luther
Burrell at centre, Riley Dean, standoff. Matty Smith didn't play. Good point. I've forgotten about him. Funny that, isn't it?
Yeah. I didn't see Kevin Brown in the celebrations yesterday. I saw all that Johnson and everything.
He was probably training with Lee, trying to get his match fitness up.
Have you noticed Blake Austin's quite apprehensive when they do the bang the drum in the dress? He's always just standing back a little bit. I always get the impression he's been poked in the eye at some point. And he's never quite got back in there.
I think you find that Blake Austin was still traumatised by a 78-year-old woman running up to him with a red wine in one hand and just jumping on him and giving him a big kiss when he walked past us. So that was my mother. Poor Blake.
I made an observation as well.
Lucky bugger.
I made an observation. When he was walking with the pram past us, Sam, he was looking absolutely fine walking, no hindrance whatsoever. But when I saw him on the pitch later, he was limping a little bit.
You see, it's funny you should say that, because my osteopath with my two split discs has said to me that you're probably going to take on the shopping trolley position.
Yeah.
And that is, you feel more safer just leaning forward on a shopping trolley. Yeah.
So maybe he's going to have to come back with his pram then, isn't he?
Yeah, that'll be the way, a Zimmer frame.
Who's he going to put in the pram?
The ball. Push it around.
Fair enough. We'll have a quick look at the table. So Saints are out 16 points out on top. And then we've got Wire, Wigan, Hull all on 30. We've got that significant goal difference of still got 107 goal difference over
Wigan. No, I'm going to point something out there, Rob.
Oh, come on.
If Salford beat us,
yes.
If by 24 points,
mm-hmm.
they go ahead of us.
Yes, because they're on plus 161 and we're on plus 207.
Yeah, so they'd go to 30, we'd be on 30, and we could end up in fifth place after 30. Well, not after 30, after the full round next week.
I think Salford have got a very good opportunity of winning all three. They've got Warrington at home on Thursday, so we'd expect them to win that. Then they've got Leeds away. I mean, Leeds are still tricky. And then they've got Hull KR at home on the last day of the season. So,
do you think we're getting to the stage where they're not really that bothered about where we finish and they've got the belief that they can, make the final from any position now?
Very good point, Dennis. We may well have to make the final from fifth, the way we're going. I think the only thing
that's not guaranteed because of Castleford, isn't it?
Well, I think the thing that saves us is I think the permutation is that everyone else, only Wigan and Warrington, oh, and Salford as well, we're all playing a top team once, but Castleford have to play Saints, Hull and Wigan.
Castleford play Saints next Friday, I think, don't they?
Yeah, and Hull have to play Huddersfield at home, and then they've got Castleford away and St Helens at home. So they're going to cancel each other out, that top five, a little bit. Even if we lose all three, we should hold on.
I'm expecting us to rest a lot of players on Thursday. Fingers crossed for a performance. We didn't think we'd win yesterday, but we did. Fingers crossed that we can do something on Thursday. Then we will beat Wakefield at home. We'll beat them well, and everyone will be back fit for the trip away to Leeds. So I'm pretty confident we will not slip out of that five.
Okay. All right, well, let's have your predictions then for the Salford game. I'll start. I'll go for a Warrington win. So I'm going to go, I'll go Salford 18, Warrington 24. I think we might just surprise, I think our young boys might come in and do it.
You're back up in the 20s again, are you?
We've got that kick across field into the shade. It works every time.
Oh, yeah.
Sam, what are you going for?
I think it will be quite an open game. I think we will score quite a few points with a young team, but I still think Salford will probably win. 28-18.
28-18, okay. All right, Dennis, what are you going for?
Salford 16, Wire 18. Thank you very much.
I like that. I always like a man with confidence.
Yeah.
Just goes straight in there.
Yeah.
Very good. Okay. All right. Okay, we need your help, everyone out there. The podcast has recorded its 20,000th download this week. So in order for the podcast to achieve Apple Podcast accreditation and to make this financially viable for us to carry on next season, because T-shirt sales have been pretty shit, we need to achieve 30,000 downloads. So can we ask you all, please, 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 if you can just introduce one friend to the podcast, just one friend each, will make the goal very easily. So it's a goodbye from our very own piece of silverware. Yes, he may need a tin of Brasso to get himself going these days, but he's definitely glistened in Cup Glory sunshine this weekend. It's a we've won the cup from Sam.
All the best.
And from a podcasting legend that no doubt, with the vision of the Royal Box still freshly in his memory, will polish his own trophy. It's a wave of the winner's medal from Dennis.
The senior, your Royal Highness.
My name's Rob London. What a brilliant weekend it's turned out to be. Whether you've just started following The Wire or you've been a lifelong fan, the Cup Final is one that we will never forget. You've been listening to What Would Brian Bevan Say? And what would Brian Bevan say? It's a Warrington Wolves at a 2019 Challenge Cup winners.
Yay! Hey, Rob. Sam said he'd only do it next year if he gets a hair and also a sack back and crack. Very good.
I've slipped my disc that badly. I'm not sure I've not just shat myself in the last 20 minutes.
I can't feel it. God. Totally wired.
Hill, a royal seal of approval. Primrose and Blue Blood run a try today. It's Warrington. No strangers to Wembley. Losers last two times, winners today, and a performance that we will all remember. Circumstances difficult, don't win superbly.